the Gospel of Luke, and the Acts of the Apostles. And the book of Acts records the first assault of the Christians and Christianity into the broken world to take out the gospel. It's the beginning of the church going out and expanding. And as I prepared for this morning, by the time I did the background and the history and the theme of the book, I didn't get to the first 11 verses, because otherwise it was going to take over an hour. And so this morning we're going to explore Luke, the person and the author. We're going to look at the title of the book, the date of its writing, the theme of its historical record, and how it meets our spiritual needs. And then next week, we'll break into the first 11 verses. But if we don't understand the audience and the purpose and why this book was written, then we miss part of its impact. And so I'm going to spend time on that this morning. Let's open in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you have given us this wonderful historical record of the early church and all that you did with those men. And all that you did with the hundreds and thousands that followed, and all that you will do with us and those who come after us until you return. So, Father, we just praise you. We thank you for all the truth that you bring into our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we'll start with the author. I mean, the author, we say, is Luke. And not only the gospel account, but the book of Acts. But I need to understand, his name is only mentioned three times in all of Scripture. In Paul's letter to Colossae, the church in Colossae, it says, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you. Well, that's our first clue, right? Who Luke is. And then in Paul's second letter to Timothy, he states, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And then Paul closes his letter to Philemon in Colossae with, Ephras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, and Aretarus, and Demas, and Luke, fellow workers. So that's it. So from the scriptures, we really do not learn a whole lot about Luke's background or his personality. And in neither of the books that we say Luke wrote, the Gospel according to Luke and Acts, he never uses his name. And I believe he never uses his name because his focus was not himself. His focus was Jesus Christ. But we can also learn a few other things. Luke was a Gentile. We learn this from Paul's writing in Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 to 14. These verses tell us that Luke was not among the circumcised. And so from there, we can conclude Luke was not Jewish. There's evidence outside of the Bible and in other historical records that Luke was Greek. It appears that his ability to understand both the Greek language and the Hebrew language, coupled with his analytical physician's mind, made him the perfect recorder, the perfect historian for the chronological gospel that he wrote and for the history of the early church found in Acts. At this time in history, I also discovered that many wealthy people had physicians that were slaves. Because they could afford it. And what's interesting, Luke's Greek name, his name was shortened from Lucius. And the historical records at the time show us also that names that ended with A-S at that time was very common among slaves. And often you could identify that somebody was a slave or a former slave by the ending of that name. And so, then, you know, Theophilus, the one who Luke dedicates this book of Acts to, also from historical sources, we learn that he was a wealthy government official in Antioch, and his name means friend of God. And it's many people theorize that his name was changed when he converted to Jesus Christ. And at that time, then, they also theorize that he freed Luke and gave him his freedom when he got saved. But we do know by the time Luke started traveling with the apostles, he's no longer a slave. And they also believe that his address at the opening of this book was to his former master. It says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So once Luke is freed, he becomes a traveler with the apostles, a missionary, a writer. Many historians believe that Luke was from Antioch because Theophilus was a government official there, and they believe he was Luke's former master. And this is also supported by Luke's keen interest in Antioch, which is mentioned 11 times in the book of Acts. And then when we look at the title, you know, the title Acts or Acts of the Apostle was added later. Originally, these recordings were meant to be just a continuation of Luke's gospel account. And so the story of Acts overlaps with the last scene of the Gospels, and it shows the risen Christ commissioning his apostles to the going out and beginning the worldwide task of proclaiming the gospel and showing the lost world the truth, and doing that by the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the original writing, there, like I said, there was no title. The title to this book was added in the second century. Some have said a more appropriate title would be The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And after studying and preparing, I think I have a better title. And my title would be The Further Acts of Jesus Christ Through the Holy Spirit by His Apostles in the Early Church. Now, that's a little long, so if we shorten it to Acts, it's easier to remember, right? But this is really what is all about in Luke and the recording of Acts. And then Luke tells us that he is relying on reliable accounts from the apostles and what he sees the apostles do in this historical account. And so again, he tells us in the first verse, he says, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So the continuation of this first book, now that we call it the second book of Luke, right, the book of Acts, is all focused on Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and what happens through the faithfulness of his apostles. Acts records that Jesus continued to do. It didn't stop with his crucifixion and his ascension back into heaven. And Luke is telling his friend, look, you trusted me in my first book, the gospel account. Trust me in this because it is all true and historical. So then we can look at the date of the book. Most theologians and historians look at the book of Acts and believe that it was written someplace between 62 AD, and that's the year Paul was released from the Roman prison, and a late date of 69 AD. Now, there are a couple theologians that were trying to say it was written as late as 96 AD, but you know, the facts just don't support that. And so the date of the writing, I look at is there are a couple of factors to date this. First of all, remember, what did the Romans do in 70 AD? They destroyed Jerusalem. And the fact that Luke was such a careful historian and putting down facts correctly, there is no way he would have written the Acts and not mentioned the destruction of Jerusalem had it already taken place. And then secondly, remember, Nero's persecution of the Christians began in 64 AD, and Luke doesn't talk about this either. And that was a huge historical thing. And so again, I don't believe Luke would have written his account and omitted that if it had already happened. So that means the book was probably written earlier than 64 AD. And then also we have to look at that Luke doesn't record the death of Paul. And we know that Paul died someplace between late 64 and early 65 AD. So these facts tell me that this book, this record, historical record, was written between 62 and 64 AD. Then when we look at the theme of this book, the theme of the book, remember, this account was all written to encourage the early church in its expansion, to encourage Christians who suffer persecution, to see the miraculous things that God did through people. And so if you want to look at the theme of this book, all you have to do is go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says in there, "You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." This verse really predicted a lot of things. I mean, we see later that they did receive the Holy Spirit. And so if you look at verse 8, you could take this really and build the table of contents for the entire book of Acts. Because we're going to see this verse poured out and come to realization. And not only does it tell the disciples, this is your mission, what does it tell us? It tells us this is our mission. This is who we are to be. Luke is presenting the Great Commission. He is presenting the army of Jesus Christ going out into the world and doing battle with evil and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything Luke says in this early part of Acts is proven to come to true. So, and the setting of the beginning in Acts and the continuation, it's a continuation of Luke's gospel, and it's that 40-day period between Jesus' resurrection and Jesus' ascension and going back to heaven. And he starts out Acts in this realm because in those 40 days, Jesus was telling the disciples who he is, what they must be, how that he was not spirit but a glorified body. And if they were going to be his disciples, they had to know him. And they were to fulfill their mission until he returned. So the bulk of the teaching that Jesus did in those 40 days was about the kingdom of heaven, the mission of the disciples. And let me ask, has Jesus returned? No. So does his mission continue? Absolutely. And the disciples were mortal men that died. So who is to continue the mission of Jesus Christ? We are. The book of Acts could easily be divided into two books. And many theologians believe it was originally two books. Acts, if you want to call it book one, comprised of chapters 1 through 15, verse 36, and it regarded the global need for the gospel to go out to all people and the reception of Gentiles into the emancipated church that was now separated from Judaism and had faith in Jesus Christ alone. And then Acts book 2 would then begin in chapter 15, verse 36, with starting with Paul's second missionary journey and the missionary expansion of the gospel of Christ then continues all the way through the end of Acts through chapter 28. It shows the church expanding all the way to Rome. So I think in a way we could summarize the theme of the book of Acts in this way. We could say that the book of Acts calls for all Christians to understand Christ, both prior to his crucifixion and after his ascension, and their mission in life to proclaim the true gospel of the kingdom of God while staying active in God's word and God's church to guard themselves from the distractions and the falsehoods of this world. I don't believe you can be the Christian the Bible teaches if you are what we call a Lone Ranger Christian. God says you must be in community, and let's be honest, community is messy at times. But that doesn't mean it's not right. So how do we take this? Well, let's look at its application. The main reason I believe the book of Acts applied not only then, but to us today, and we're going to see how this applies to us over the next few months as we dig into it and we unpack it, is just like Theophilus, we too need to see Jesus' work. And his work has not finished. Now, he finished the redemptive work on the cross, and he even announced that fact before he died on the cross, right? He said, it's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So he paid the price for sin. He conquered death, and in that was finished. However, his work, the work of saving men and women and boys and girls, is unfinished. And it's the work that will continue until he returns. The kingdom of God began with the first coming of Jesus Christ, but it's not complete yet. His followers must continue Jesus' work and sharing the gospel with others until his return. And when we think about that, then we have to keep in mind, remember, we read through the gospel accounts, we've all seen that, and we know that the disciples at times were a bunch of silly guys that messed up a lot. So Christ is telling them, look, if you're going to be my emissaries, if you're going to do the gospel, you need to understand who I am if you're going to carry that message out. You cannot give my truth and my message unless you know me. You know, things haven't changed, have they? How can we share the gospel of Jesus Christ today if we do not know the Word of God, if we do not know who Jesus Christ is? Spiritual understanding takes time and work and effort. And the problem is, for the American church and probably much of the church of the world, is we have a lot of shallow spiritual people in the church, and it's like the blind leading the blind. Pastors and churches saying things that are kind of true, but not completely true. And because of the shallowness of many people, they believe those statements. You have a responsibility to make sure everything I teach and preach is true and consistent with the Word of God. And if not, hold me accountable. And yet we live in a society that doesn't hold hardly anybody accountable, including spiritual leaders and TV evangelists. We must know Jesus before we can do a good job of telling others who he is. If you are not comfortable for whatever reason in sharing the gospel, do you understand then in some ways you become a stumbling block to the expansion of the Jesus Christ kingdom? All through the scriptures, including the book of Acts, we never read about the disciples or saved Christians who will not carry forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have been a Christian for 6 months or more, you know should know enough of the basic gospel and who Christ is. And if you're worried about being a theologian, then share your testimony. Share the testimony of what God has done in your heart and your mind and your soul and how you see the world. You can't keep it to yourself. As a Christian, you have the responsibility to study God's Word, to gain spiritual wisdom. So let me ask you, is studying the Word, spending time with God in prayer, is that a priority in your life? Or does it just kind of happen as your day goes on? See, the book of Acts teaches believers, one of the things I love about the book of Acts, it teaches believers on how to live a meaningful Christian life and in Christian fellowship, to support and care and share freely with each other. We'll see this laid out in Luke and to Acts, beginning in chapter 2, verse 42. And it carries all the way through chapter 4. Questions that brings to my mind as I'm studying, is our church modeled after the early church? Is this place where we come to worship, is it where we come to learn and live out the truths of God? Is our church a safe place for people to come? Because we're all wounded and messed up. We know through just living our lives that Christians can have disagreements. And Luke teaches how, even though we have these disagreements and conflicts, how we can handle them as Christians and live in harmony. And if we live in harmony as a community of Christ, we are a better witness to the world of who Jesus is. I love the book of Acts because it's about ordinary people like you and me doing extraordinary things, not by their own power, but by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts tells the story of these Spirit-filled lives given out through the disciples and then the disciples of the disciples and the disciples of the disciples, and how they take the message of Jesus Christ out into the world and tell people what He taught and who He was and what He did. Acts is about continuing the mission of Jesus Christ until He comes back. And then, as I was thinking about this, a practical application that came into mind is the importance for husbands and fathers. Do you understand the critical role you play in your homes? Acts is a record of practicing Christians under the power of the Holy Spirit. It follows the creation order. It follows the family order given all through Scripture by God. Men, does that describe your life? Men, it is your responsibility to make sure every member of your family understands who Jesus Christ is and is equipped to go tell others the gospel of Christ. We have been given a great responsibility and great task to equip our families. And men, let me be clear. You will give an account before God for your wife and your children. Our society is biblically illiterate, and it is the fault primarily of the fathers. If dads do not know the truth of the Scriptures, the family will not know the truth of the Scriptures. And knowing the Scriptures is not enough. It is not an intellectual experience. It's a spiritual experience. Fathers must share the spiritual experience of Jesus Christ and the Word of God with their wives and children. Dads are to be the biblical teachers of their home. And to fail in this is to fail as the head of your home. Your career is not as important as Jesus Christ. Your hobby is not as important as Jesus Christ, even fishing. But you have to have the right focus. So just like Luke dedicates this book to his friend who questions and wants to understand more, this book is also dedicated to us. It will give us answers. It will bolster our spiritual wisdom. It will equip us better to be stewards of God's Word and share it with a lost world. And as we go through Acts, I think it will encourage you. It will excite you to to do as God has asked us to do. Because we're going to see men and women just as silly and messed up as we are doing a bunch of great things because of God. And so, as we look through this book, the message, the history found in Acts is just as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. So again, let me close with this. Christians are called to understand Christ, and their mission in life is to proclaim the true gospel of the kingdom of God while staying active in God's word and Christ's church to guard themselves from the distraction of the world and the falsehoods of the world. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for your time in the word. We thank you that your word does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It is the only truth that is eternal. And so, Father, as we live in this crazy and messed up world, we just thank you for your word, because it is the constant, true guide in people's lives. It transcends all cultures. It transcends all languages. It is the truth that speaks to the heart of us. Help us take that truth and hide it in our heart, and then take that truth to the world. There are so many people that need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you. You've given us the gift of church, that we can come together and through all things, good and bad, we can love each other, hold each other dear, lift each other up, and be encouragements. So, Father, now as we end this service and worship, I ask that you would just give us a heart of worship, that you would give us a heart of love for each other, and a heart of love for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.